last night, the city council here in Galesburg came together to discuss budget improvements, and specifically in the area how we come about developing that budget, the involvement of each one of the council members, council as a whole, as well as city staff, city administration, and to add to that, to make sure that we're gathering necessary input from all the stakeholders in the community, including individual residents. So really the purpose was, how can we improve on the budgetary process? And so there was a recommendation, a set of recommendations that were put on the table by our city manager, Mr. Todd Thompson. And the primary recommendation was that we shift from the traditional incremental type of budgeting that we've done to something that is more based on the development, the establishment of priorities, and that those priorities will drive how the city expends its resources and actually invest its resources.
Are you talking at all about doing a two-year budget process?
Yes, that was one of the involved in one of the recommendations that was made, and that is really to shift the culture from year to year to multi-year, where we would also include a five-year financial forecast. So we're going to be anticipating what resources we will have going out 5 years, and that would help for us to plan for the priorities that have been established by the council for the community.
Basically, you're sort of developing a master plan of what the city needs to do and then working the budget around that.
Well, it's actually going to be driven, and this is one of the other recommendations, it's going to be driven by the comprehensive plan. First step there is to update that plan. The last time it was updated was back in 1999, so it's overdue. Also, to expand that comprehensive plan to be more than just a land use type of document. That comprehensive plan is going to be key in terms of capturing the vision for the development of this community. The budget process is really would be the vehicle to realize the priorities and the guidelines that have been set in place by the comprehensive plan. So first things first, would be updating that comprehensive plan.
So can you give me an example of something you think should be included in that as sort of a vision item rather than a land use item?
Well, I can actually give an example that incorporates both. Land use item, you know, where we have our zones and what's going to be permissible within those zones would be residential, business, industrial, different levels of, you know, manufacturing. That's the land use part of it. But the vision part of it, and I'll use the example for parks and green space, there really isn't a plan for the parks and dedicated green space. And so that would be one great piece of the overall vision. How do we continue to improve on the parks that we have? At the same time, where do we identify or what do we identify as green space so for that not to be developed, you know, commercially sometime down the road? Good example is when we were doing the student housing, the villas at Carl Sandburg. We had residents that, you know, were advocating for that to be green space. And we had others, of course, that was advocating for it just to be developed as it's been. So, but we didn't have a vision for it. So it's a greater opportunity to identify, you know, the most appropriate uses, not only for land, but also to advance the vision for the community. The community wants to have, you know, green spaces, but we haven't identified what that would be. It's easy for us to say, well, we can improve on our existing park structure. But the other side of it is, do we want to dedicate, set aside any additional green space that may be in the future developed into something that could provide leisurey kind of activities for the community. One example here recently was the council agreeing to move forward with establishing a dog park. So that was never part of our vision. That was never part of the parks in any way. That was something that was new as an amenity. And so we're hoping to incorporate set-aside green space that we understand may be located in areas that could be potentially developed commercially. But by setting a priority that that's, you know, the direction that the city is going to go, the probability for us actually realizing that is going to be, you know, greatly enhanced.
And updating the comprehensive plan, is that something aldermen do with city staff, or will you be looking to hold some public meetings to gather input from the community?
Well, it consists of all of that, to include having consultants, potentially consultants, and people with expertise, because it really, it would consist of an extraordinary number of man hours to be able to get that in place. The last time it was updated, and there's a unique twist to this, with the local leadership initiative that was in place at that time, Leadership Greater Galesburg, there a class dedicated that as their project. So what they did is they actually raised the funds to be able to have the comprehensive plan updated, which I believe was anywhere from $115,000 to $130,000 was the cost of having that work done. So we're going to do an outreach to the community to see if they would be interested in participating, not only in that manner, but, of course, the input, as well as the main push here, the main theme is going to be having a greater number of residents and stakeholders actually input into this plan, into this vision. And that way we would have a more expansive platform for council to draw upon when they go to make decisions about the future of this community.
When does this all get started?
Well, my understanding is from last night, you know, and one thing, we started this in January for the purpose of trying to phase this in. This entire changing over to a different budget, you know, budgeting process isn't going to be completed. We're looking at 2 to 3 years out from start to finish. We're starting as soon as, you know, today. And that's just, you know, getting additional research and how other communities went about implementing, you know, this change in their budgetary process. And looking at the necessities, one example would be training for staff that will end up being key throughout this entire process. And then at the other side is also identifying if we need to reach out to consultants to help us with this overall process. But with that, there was another type of budgetary process that was discussed last night. So not only the priority-based and driven budget process, but also a zero-based budgeting process. The difference there is that each year you essentially start from zero with everything, which to me means that each service, each program, each department is going to have to justify, you know, their particular department, the services and responsibilities, and the resources that they would need to, you know, conduct those services or to offer those services to the community.
So it's yet to be determined whether you'll be going with a priority-based budget or a zero-based budget?
Right. There are a number of things that were agreed upon, and that was like the updating of the comprehensive plan. What is that going to consist of? What, in essence, what it's going to cost? We also agreed that we would be changing. But for us, we had probably a mix of half and half of council that had a preference for one versus the other. So the city administration now is tasked with actually pursuing both of those paths simultaneously, and to come back and hopefully provide recommendations to the council on, you know, what they believe would be in the greater interest of the community.
Okay, I think that should do it, unless there's anything you want to add.
No, other than an opening statement that I made to council last night was that I have no attachment to the way that we do our budget today. And prior to coming into this position, I've had a great vantage point to see where there's areas for improvement. What this won't do is, and this was made very clear, and council will be reminded throughout this entire process, regardless of what process the council ends up deciding to embrace, is that it doesn't necessarily generate any more resources. It really is about more of the planning, understanding clearly where our revenue is going to come from, anticipating what is going to be available, and then making decisions earlier in the process. So towards the end of the year, we're not wrestling with some of these issues that should have really been decided upon, you know, much earlier. But that we won't have any more money because of the local economy. You know, we continue to make some gains, but we also understand that it's going to be some time before we can grow our local economy, before we can grow our local tax base, so that we won't have to make serious considerations about, you know, additional cuts in spending. And so, you know, council, there isn't anything magic about this. All we're doing is attempting to be more inclusive, to smooth out the budgetary process, and to come to, hopefully, a unified accord on what we can do with the available resources that we now have assigned priorities to, or and or have received adequate justifications that we maintain at the levels that we have provided in the past.